Well, welcome everybody. We're into part three now of this series that we're in. The title is Heaven Really Our Destination? We've been in this series looking at the ages to come. And we saw God over the last few weeks define that this age that we're currently in is this present evil age. That's how God defines this age that we're in right now. Present evil age. And we saw why that was, because it's been governed by Satan, isn't it? His arch enemy. And God referred to Satan as the God of this age, small g. Remember that? God of this age. And then we saw that Jesus Christ is coming back to earth. Remember, he gathers us together initially. But that he's coming back to earth. And that's an important aspect, because remember we saw that in John where he said, where I am going to be, there are you going to be also. Yeah, so it's important for us to understand where he's going to be. He's going to be on earth. He's going to be come back to earth and rule and reign with for what's very often referred to as the millennium age. Millennium just means 1,000 years. So those who are chosen, when we come before that judgment seat of Christ, then we're judged for the good and the bad in all of our lives. And then that determines whether we are, what position we are in that coming age. We then saw that no one has ever entered heaven, didn't we? Only Jesus Christ has entered heaven. So in heaven right now is Jesus Christ and God and thousands of spiritual angels of heaven, yeah, that he created in the beginning. And that includes Satan, because it tells us in the Word that Satan comes into the presence of God's throne and accuses the brethren on a regular basis. So he accuses the brethren. So we've got to be clear on that, you know, our destination we're going to see today isn't heaven, okay? Because number one, we're going to see that Jesus Christ comes to earth. And we're going to see him go through that in detail in the Word. Now, it's important to realize that during that coming 1,000-year age, that Satan is locked away, isn't he? He's locked away. So his power, his authority, his dominion is no more. It comes to nothing during that 1,000-year reign. So it's a time period when Jesus Christ reigns the earth, it says, in righteousness, with his chosen bride. But life does continue. Life doesn't come to an end on the earth. There aren't going to be people who will just continue the same life they had before he arrives. Yeah? Other than Satan is locked up. So it's going to be a very different atmosphere. It's going to be a very different dominion, because Jesus Christ now reigns in righteousness on the earth. But it says he rules with a rod of iron. And that implies that there's some people not going to succumb to the rule of Jesus Christ. Yeah? Or that he's going to have to put some things back in order that were out of order. But it's important to realize that people continue to live, people continue to die right through this 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. And they still have the option on how they live their lives. So this week we're going to get a real insight into this end age. You know, what happens following on from that? You know, our final destination. And hopefully we can get around this off today. But I want you to turn to the book of Revelation, and in chapter 20, verse 1, we're going to start reading there. We're going to go through a few verses, start to get a feel of the context of life in these final ages. Okay? And in Revelation 20, verse 1 says, "And I saw an angel coming down out of heaven." Now we read over that and we think, well, this is an angel coming out of heaven. It's not you and I going into heaven, is it? With the angels. It's an angel coming out of heaven. Right, so that's important. "Having the key to the abyss and holding in his hand a great chain. And he seized the dragon, that ancient serpent, who is the devil or Satan, and bound him for 1,000 years. So this is depicting the binding up of Satan and his evil spirit world for this 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ here on earth. And look at verse 3. "He threw away the key." No, I didn't quite say that. But "he threw him into the abyss and locked and sealed it over him to keep him from deceiving the nations anymore." What does that indicate? That he is deceiving the nations, yeah? That he is deceiving the nations. Because remember the Battle of Armageddon. The Battle of Armageddon is all the nations of the world focusing on Jesus Christ and the country of Israel in the end times. So he does go through and deceive the nations. But this abyss keeps him from deceiving the nations anymore until Now it's important to see that word, until the 1,000 years were ended. So there's 1,000 years where Satan has no more authority, no more dominion, no more rule over the nations of the world. Yeah? After that, now look at this, after that, he must be set free for a short time. So he gets out again. Now why that happens, we don't really know. Why God allows that to happen. But we know that he goes on to deceive parts of the nations of the world following that 1,000-year period. Yeah? He gets let loose. Now, do you realize in Revelation 20, God specifies this age to come being 1,000 years 6 times in 7 verses? I think that's probably unique in the Word. In other words, he wants us to get the message. Yeah? And so many of us have missed the message throughout the years because most people believe when they die, they go to heaven. End of story. And yet the Word of God clearly tells us in Revelation chapter 20, there's this period of 1,000 years where Jesus Christ will rule and reign on earth in positions of lordship and rulership for 1,000 years while Satan is locked up. So Jesus Christ is going to govern in righteousness, and the earth will be a totally different place to live in during that period of 1,000 years. Now remember, this is the next stage to come. Yeah, this is the next stage to come. We who are raised up and gathered together, and that includes the Old Testament saints who believe, live and reign with Christ depending on the outcome to our visit to the judgment seat, which will depend on whether we just see the kingdom or we actually inherit the kingdom. And we'll get that into the differences between seeing the kingdom and inheriting the kingdom in the weeks to come. But this week, what I want us to understand finally is, where is our final destination? And what is it? Where is it? Yeah? And many of us have gone through our Christian lives thinking our final destination after death is a place called heaven. Yeah? And we're just going to allow the Word to tell us where our final destination is. Not me telling you. Let's allow the Word to tell us where our final destination is. But in our two earlier parts of this series, we've seen that Jesus Christ is actually coming back to earth with his bride, haven't we? And ruling on earth for this next age, for this 1,000 years. So what's next after that? Right? Because we see that the Satan is let loose. But what follows that? Now, we're not going to go into every detail on this. We have done over the previous teachings, but we're not going to today. What is it that happens after that? So today we're going to get an insight into that coming age, which we will see that God refers to this as the ages of the ages. Remember when we looked at that word, eternal life? It actually means age of the age. Yeah? And that's what God depicts. Right? It's an age, but it continues and continues into the future. Yeah? And it's often referred to as eternal life, isn't it? We saw that when we looked at that, these words, eternal life. And we must always remember that we are limited to what God reveals to us in his Word. Yeah? If it's not in the Bible, if it's not in the Scriptures, then you cannot speculate as to what this coming age is all about. Just because you've been taught about heaven, just because a religion teaches about heaven, doesn't make it right. It's right when the Word of God says it's right. And if the Word of God doesn't say it and doesn't tell us any detail, guess what? We don't go guessing about it. Yeah? We don't throw our beliefs and doctrines at it because it feels comfortable to believe that. And believe me, it feels very uncomfortable sometimes when you bring yourself back to what the Scriptures say. You start to realize that a lot of the things that people believe, a lot of the things that maybe you and I have believed throughout the years, don't stack up with what the Word of God actually says. And that's what we're going to look at today. What does the Word actually say, right? And as I say, we're not going to deal with every detail that happens during these coming ages. Our objective, remember, in this series is to answer the question, is heaven really our destination? That's what we're trying to really get an understanding of. Now, so far, the closest we've got to heaven is meeting Jesus Christ in the clouds, isn't it? Because the Bible, that's what the Bible tells us, right? Those who have believed throughout the years will be gathered together. There'll be a first resurrection. And those who are dead will be raised. Those who are alive and remain alive when he comes back for the second time will be gathered together in the clouds. Now, the word doesn't actually tell us that exact location. It doesn't say he's coming back in the clouds above White Rock or above Toronto. Yeah, it just says the clouds. So we don't know the exact location. We don't know the exact location of that judgment seat, but it's pretty sure it's not on earth. Yeah, because it tells us that he comes back to rule and reign. We know, guys, that neither of these locations, either the clouds when we're gathered together or the judgment seat of Christ, that is not our final destination, because he comes back to earth. And that is our objective. Our objective is to be the chosen out of the body of Christ, to so live our lives dead to self, to so live our lives that when we get to the judgment seat of Christ, he'll say, "Thou good and faithful servant." Because there's a lot of people going to come to the judgment seat of Christ and be judged for the bad in their lives. And we don't want to be there. We do not want to be in that category. We want to be in the category of the good and faithful servant. Those who die to self. Those that are willing to do the will of the Father. Those who are willing to live just lives and pure lives according to the Scriptures, according to the Word of God. And the sequence of events that we've seen are that all believers get gathered together. We go to that judgment seat of Christ. We're judged for good works and we're judged for bad works. And after that, we're chosen to come back to earth for approximately 1,000 years. So that's where we're picking it up from here. Go to Revelation chapter 21. Now remember, Jesus Christ promised, as I said earlier, where he is, there we will be also. And we saw that last week, that where he's actually heading for is earth, isn't it? Not only the millennium kingdom, but we're going to see it today. You don't see him going anywhere else after that millennium kingdom, which is really interesting. So we're going to follow that through, and we've seen that he actually is on earth ruling with us, the bride of Christ, those chosen out of the body of Christ. He's ruling the earth in righteousness, okay? And that's where we're picking it up. Revelation 21 and verse 1. And then it says, "Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth." So there's a new heaven and there's a new earth coming. "For the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and there was no longer any sea. I saw the holy city, the new Jerusalem." Look at this. "Coming down out of heaven from God." You see that? This is something coming down from heaven. Yeah? Something coming down from heaven. It's not something going up to heaven, is it? It's something coming down from heaven. "Prepared as a bride, beautifully dressed for her husband." And in verse 3 it says, "And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Now the dwelling of God is with men, and he will live with them." So God is coming to live with them. Do you see that? It's not us going to live with God. It's not us going up to heaven to live with God. It's God actually coming down to man to live with him. Do you see that? Because men are still on earth. Remember, this is a continuation of the kingdom. This is a continuation. There's nothing in the Bible that says that Jesus Christ, at the end times, at the end of that 1,000-year period, zaps off to heaven. It doesn't say that. We just read it. We just read the kingdom, and that Satan is released for a period, a short time, it says. Yeah? And then we're going to see exactly what happens after that. And then it says, "They will be his people, and God himself," what? "Will be with them." See that? "And be their God. And he will wipe every tear from their eyes. And there will be no more death or mourning or crying or pain. For the old order of things has passed away." So the old earth has gone, isn't it? Because we're into the new heaven and the new earth. We're into the third heaven and earth. And then in verse 5 it says, "He who was seated on the throne said, I am making everything new. Then he said, Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. He said to me, It is done. I am the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end. To him who is thirsty, I will give to drink without cost from the spring of the water of life. He who overcomes will inherit all this, and I will be his God, and he will be my son. But the cowardly, the unbelieving, the vile, the murderers, the sexually immoral, those who practice magic arts, the idolaters and all liars, their place will be in the fiery lake of burning sulfur. This is the second death." And then in verse 9, "One of the seven angels who had made the seven bowls full of the seven last plagues came and said to me, Come, I will show you the bride, the wife of the Lamb. and verse 10. And he carried me away in the spirit to a mountain great and high, and showed me the holy city Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. So again, this is something that's coming down out of heaven. And verse 11, it shone with the glory of God, and its brilliance was like that of a very precious jewel, like a jasper, clear as crystal. It had a great white wall with 12 gates, and with 12 angels at the gates. On the gates were written the names of the 12 tribes of Israel. There were 3 gates on the east, 3 on the north, 3 on the south, and 3 on the west. And the wall of the city had 12 foundations, and on them were the names of the 12 apostles of the Lamb. Jump to verse 22. If you want to read the rest of that when you get home, go ahead. And verse 22, I did not see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And this is a city that's referred to as coming down out of heaven, isn't it? Remember we read that? And it says in the temple, he didn't see a temple in the city, because the Lord God Almighty and the Lamb are its temple. And the city does not need the sun or the moon to shine on it, for the glory of God gives it light, and the Lamb is its lamp. The nations will walk by its light, and the kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. Do you see the context of this? The kings of the earth will bring their splendor into it. On no day will its gates ever be shut, for there will be no night there. The glory and honor of the nations will be brought into it. Nothing impure will ever enter it, nor will anyone who does what is shameful or deceitful, but only those whose names are written in the Lamb's Book of Life. So this is the final age for all of time. And God refers to this final age as the ages of the ages. In other words, there's no end to it. Right? It's the ages of the ages. It continues into the ages of the ages. Yeah? Have you ever tried to figure out eternal life? How hard that whole concept is. That's why God, I believe, puts these words, the ages. In other words, it's an age. It's a time. It's a set period of time. But that set period of time knows no end. Understand? So he's initially coming back to earth as King of Kings and Lord of Lords for that 1,000-year period. And that's exactly where we're going to be. Right? We're going to be right here on earth. We're going to reign with him if we're chosen to reign with him from the judgment seat of Christ. Yeah? At that point, we receive that age-lasting life. Now, let's see some more about this final age of the ages. Look at verse 1 of chapter 22. And it says, in verse 1 it says, then the angel showed me the river of the water of life, as clear as crystal, flowing from the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in verse 2, down the middle of the great street of the city, on each side of the river stood the tree of life, bearing 12 crops of fruit, yielding its fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree are for the healing of the nations. You see that? There's nations there. You understand? And then it says in verse 3, no longer will there be any curse. The throne of God and of the Lamb will be in the city, and his servants will serve him. And they will see his face, and his name will be on their foreheads. And there will be no more night. They will not need the light of a lamp or the light of the sun, for the Lord God will give them light. And look at this. And they will reign forever and ever. Isn't that incredible? They will reign for the ages of the ages. It just continues and continues and continues. It's fantastic. So, in summary then, what we've seen is that we have that first resurrection. Going back a bit. Yeah? We have that first resurrection. And if you want to turn to Daniel chapter 12, right about the middle of your Bible, we see that first resurrection depicted here in chapter 12. So we have this first resurrection where believers from all of the ages are made alive. Yeah? And Daniel prophesied about this first resurrection way back in the Old Testament. And he says in verse 2 of chapter 12, he says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will awake. So that's where the dead are. They're asleep. So when we die, that's how God depicts it in the Word. Not just here, but in many other places, and we'll be getting into it over the weeks to come, what happens when we die. Yeah, but God depicts it as a sleep. Do you remember going to sleep last night when you fell asleep? And then you woke up this morning. Some of you maybe had a struggle getting up this morning. But you woke up and you didn't say to yourself, oh yeah, I remember what I did between 1 and 2 in the morning while I was asleep. Did you? You had absolutely no clue what was going on. Unless you were like Louise and she got up in the middle of the night. But for most of us, when we woke up, it was like we had just gone to bed, wasn't it? And that's the way death is. Death is depicted as falling asleep. Yeah. So Daniel here in verse 2 says, multitudes who sleep in the dust of the earth will what? Awake. Some to everlasting life, and others to shame and everlasting contempt. Some rise to everlasting life, and some don't. They rise to everlasting contempt. At this exact same time this is happening, the gathering together, those who are alive and remain on the earth are gathered together. Then there's that judgment seat of Christ. Then we're all judged for the good and the bad in our lives. And we're rewarded for that. And these rewards relate to the coming kingdom on earth. This millennium, 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ. Because we've seen it over the last few weeks, that whenever we see inheritance being referred to in the Word, that inheritance that we've got to look forward to. It's all about works, isn't it? So we receive that, but then the Word goes on to tell us about how we have to continue to do good works. And depending on how we continue to do these good works depends on where we are in that 1,000-year reign of Jesus Christ, the kingdom of heaven to come on earth. These rewards relate to that coming age, that 1,000-year period. So after this 1,000-year reign comes the second part of the tribulation, that second half, the 3.5 years of the great tribulation where Satan is released. Remember, we saw that. And the Word says it's for a short time. Relatively speaking, it will be a short time. Yeah. And then it shows us in the Word that Satan and all his spirit world are permanently done away with. Remember we read last week, they're going to come to nothing. Remember that? He comes to nothing. He's done away with. All of his evil and all of his evil spirit world is done away with permanently. And then there's this second resurrection, where all of those who have lived and died and were not in that initial resurrection that we just read about are judged from the book of life. Right? And they come before that throne, that great white throne from that second resurrection. And it's then we enter that final age, an age called the Age of the Ages, yeah, that we read about. Now, have we gone to heaven yet? There's no mention of that, is there? There's absolutely no mention of us all floating up in the clouds in some place in heaven. We read it. It's God coming down. It's coming to be with man. It's everything's coming from heaven that we see here. And we live and reign with him into the ages of the ages. So it's quite clear, guys, from the Word that our final destination is the ages of the ages. Yeah? And it's depicted as an extension of the reign of Jesus Christ here on earth. Yeah? And that's so important. Look at Revelation chapter 11. Revelation, book of Revelation, chapter 11, verse 15. And it says here, the seventh angel sounded his trumpet, and there were loud voices in heaven which said, the kingdom of the world, you see that? I've underlined that. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. You see that? And he will what? He will reign forever and ever. So it's a kingdom of this world that becomes the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ. And it'll continue forever and forever into the ages of the ages of the ages. So this is not a heaven, is it? As we commonly understand heaven. It's an extension of the 1,000-year reign to come, after which Christ delivers the kingdom back to the Father God. Fantastic truth. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians chapter 15. 1 Corinthians chapter 15 and verse 24. And in 1 Corinthians 15:24 it says, then the end will come when he hands over the kingdom to God the Father, So this is talking about the end age. Yeah. So Jesus Christ is going to hand over the kingdom. Now kingdom, that word kingdom tells you right away that he is ruling and reigning as king in a kingdom. And then he hands over the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all dominion, authority and power. We've seen that that is referring to Satan, haven't we? Who is the God of this age. So he destroys the one who has this authority, has this dominion, has this power in this evil age, and that's Satan. And verse 25, for he must reign until he has put all his enemies under his feet. And the last enemy to be destroyed is death, for he has put everything under his feet. Now when it says that everything has been put under him, it is clear that this does not include God himself, who put everything under Christ. When he has done this, then the Son himself will be made subject to him who put everything under him, so that God may be all in all. That's a fantastic verse. That God may be all in all. Yeah. This is living in God's ages of the ages to come. Yeah. That's our final destination. Our final destination is an extension of that 1,000-year millennium reign of Jesus Christ, where Jesus Christ presents the kingdom to God the Father after he has destroyed all the power and authority and dominion of Satan. And he presents that kingdom back to God. And God then is all in all. Right? All in all. And we live unto the ages of the ages of the ages. Look at 2 Peter chapter 3. 2 Peter chapter 3. And you see, guys, we're going back to what the Word says. Not to what you and I necessarily think. It's what does the Word of God reveal to us about the ages of the ages? What does it reveal to us about Jesus Christ and where he's going to be and what he's going to be doing? Yeah, we've got to come back to the Word. And we're going to finish off here in a minute. And in 2 Peter chapter 3 and in verse 13 it says, but in keeping with his promise, we are looking forward to a new heaven and a new earth, the what? The home of righteousness. You see that? This is referring to the ages of the ages, which is the home of righteousness. And remember what I said at the beginning. We're limited to the description of the ages of the ages, to what the scriptures say. And the scriptures tell us it's the home of righteousness. Now, Isaiah chapter 66 and in verse 17, Isaiah, which is right in the middle of your Bible, approximately. And I'm reading from the New Living Translation here. And it says in Isaiah chapter 66, and in verse 17, I'm going to read verse 17 and I'm going to read verse 22. And in verse 17 it says, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. So it tells us that in the ages of the ages in this new heaven and earth, we're going to have no memory of the previous age. That's strange for all of us. Right? It tells us that we will have no remembrance of the former things, nor will they even come to mind. And in verse 22, as surely as my new heavens and earth will remain. Just 66. Sorry, 65. So it's Isaiah 65, verse 17 and 22. But verse 17 says, behold, I will create new heavens and a new earth. The former things will not be remembered, nor will they come to mind. And verse 22 says, as surely as my new heavens and earth will remain, so will you always be my people with a name that will never disappear, says the Lord. Isn't that fantastic? It will never disappear. This is the ages of the ages of the ages. So we see it from that our final destination is a continued age following on from the kingdom of God from heaven to come. And God refers to it as an age that continues into the ages of the ages. And I'm going to finish off in 1 John at the back of your Bible, in 1 John chapter 1 and following. And I'm reading from the Young's Literal Translation. Yep. And in 1 John chapter 1, verse 1, it says, that which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which... Now, when God uses words like that which, that which, that which, that's a figure of speech where God's giving emphasis to each part of what he's talking about here. Yeah? So bear that in mind. That which was from the beginning, that which we have heard, that which we have seen with our eyes, that which we did behold and our hands did handle concerning the word of the life. And the life was manifested, and we have seen and do testify and declare to you the life, the age during which was with the Father and was manifested to us. That which we have seen and heard declare we to you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. Isn't that fantastic? Guys, that's what we're going to look forward to. It's absolutely phenomenal. Not only the kingdom to come, but we've got to look forward to an age of righteousness, which is referred to in the Word as the home of righteousness, which goes on into the ages of the ages of the ages. That's our final destination. Right? That's our final destination. And the fellowship, the whole purpose of it, is for us to have our fellowship with God and with His Son, Jesus Christ. So Heavenly Father, we thank You for the greatness of Your Word. We thank You, Father, that You've called us to the greatness of Your Word and to understand the greatness of it, Father. And that we can so look forward to our inheritance in the kingdom to come, and so look forward to living into the ages of the ages in fellowship with You and with Your Son, Jesus Christ. And we thank You for that in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.